What would you say to someone who is currently suffering, currently going through a trial, maybe their own battle with cancer or the loss of a loved one, or wondering where God is in the midst of what they're dealing with right now? What would you tell them? What should they fix their mind on?
Yeah, I think, we're told in Colossians 3, we're to set our mind above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think about the things of heaven, like that 2 Corinthians 4 passage. Don't look at the temporary. Look at the eternal. Contemplate the realities of what God says in his word. Contemplate Hebrews 10 and 11, where the idea of the pilgrim, the stranger, the alien, this world as it now is not our home. Now, I used to just say this world is not our home. Well, now I say this world as it now is, that is, under the curse, is not our home. Because it was the home of the original human beings, Adam and Eve, our ancestors. And it will be the eternal home, the new earth, the transformed, renewed earth. It's just that right now we're aliens and strangers. We're not at home in this world. So I would encourage people to think in those terms. What I often do when I'm talking with people, I do have these conversations with people all the time. And what's really, really common is when a loved one has died and the loss and the suffering. I had a good friend who just last week, whose 20-year-old son died almost a year ago, the day after Thanksgiving. My best friend besides Nancy, Steve, one of the pastors at my church, we're very, very close. We talk almost every day. And his 30-year-old son died. Steve's wife found him dead. He was there for Thanksgiving, and he was spending the night. The next morning, there he is in his bedroom, the bedroom he had when he was a kid, and he's dead. When this happens, we can feel understandable, inconsolable. And this is where one of the things where your ministry is so important, because it's helping people see the falsehood. Don't set your expectations on health and wealth in this life. And even if you have health and wealth in this life, by the way, even if for that period of time, and you won't have either of them forever, they will be gone. Health, for sure, you will lose health. And a lot of people lose wealth, but for sure, you'll lose your health. If you just stay alive, that's all you have to do in this world to become less and less healthy as time goes on. But the point is, if your hope is in that, and you believe God promises that, you have set yourself up to be disappointed with God. And I've had people deeply disappointed with God. They said, God promised this, and now it hasn't happened. And then go, did God promise that? Or did people speaking in the name of God promise that? Those are, the difference between those is enormous. But here's what I say often. I often go to Romans 8:28. And I would say this. You don't go to Romans 8:28. I don't send Romans 8:28 to my friend who's in another part of the country when I find out that his 20-year-old son died. I think that's really insensitive. I think it's premature. It's like, all things work together for good. Rejoice, after all, rejoice in all things. That's another one I would not send. Just don't do that. There's a right time. Those passages are absolutely true. There's just a right time and a wrong time to share them. And Proverbs talks about being careful, using our words in timely ways, spoken at the right time in the right way. But to people who are in it for the long haul now, they've had a lot of suffering already in their life. So here's one of the things I say to them. I think I heard Nancy Guthrie say this in one of her books years ago or in a conversation. I'd say, sit down and write down on one side of a piece of paper the best things that have ever happened in your life. Actually, I think it might have been started with the worst things. But in any case, you do the other on the other side. Here's all the worst things that have happened. And now here's all the best things that have happened. Or do them on two pieces of paper better that you could put side by side. All right. Now, when you're done with all that, and let's say you did start with all the worst things that have happened. Wow. And some people are thinking, man, I need more than one page for that. I've had a lot of bad things happen. All right. Okay. All right. Now, after you've done that, all the worst things, all the best things. Now, compare the list and ask yourself this question. Which things are on my list of best things that have ever happened to me, which came either directly or indirectly out of my list of the worst things that have ever happened to me in this life? You will be shocked. I was shocked at how many of the best things simply would never have happened. Could never have happened without the worst things. How many of those in my life? I mean, some obvious examples, like the blessings that God has brought out of our ministry. Well, one of the worst things that happened to me, it wasn't so much the going to jail and all that, but losing my ministry as a pastor. I loved being a pastor. Maybe if I'd been a pastor another 10 or 15 years, I would have loved it as much. I don't know, but I'll never know. But I would hope that I would have continued to love it. And that was taken away from me. That was taken away from me. Worst thing that ever happened. My health was taken away from me when I became an insulin-dependent diabetic. Nancy, her cancer, one of the worst things that's ever happened to her. Numbers of other things that we could put on that worst list. You look at best things, what God has brought out of our ministry. What God has done in Nancy's life, the numbers of people who have been touched through the adversity that we've faced through the lawsuits and the minimum wage and the diseases and all this kind of. My books have been deepened and enriched as a result. You can't even weigh and measure exactly what I would have said differently, but I can tell you it would have been a lot different. If I had written the Heaven book when I was in my 30s instead of when I was in my late 40s. A lot of things happened in between there. I mean, I was in my 50s. Yeah, I was in my 50s. So, I mean, just a big, big difference. And so all I can say is trust God that the things that you can now see that he has brought good out, trust God that he will do the same thing and perhaps even more out of the things which right now you can't understand and they weigh you down. The pain, the suffering. Why are my elderly parents going through the suffering? Why is my wife, I had a friend whose wife died not that long ago from, and she'd had Alzheimer's for the last number of years of her life. Why, God? I don't see what good it could be. Well, this is where faith comes in. This is where, and that's why it's called faith. You know, it's not called sight, it's called faith. So what you got to do is cling on to the faith and the hope that is a blood-bought hope. It's not a wishful thinking hope. I don't hope Romans 8:28 is true. I know it is true. And actually, it says it in the verse. We know that all things work together for good. Part of what we know that is that God has promised it, but part of what we know, and I think we often miss this, is that we have seen, if we think about it, examples of God bringing good out of bad, even in this life. I mentioned Joseph before. Okay, so how horrible was that for probably a young teenage boy to be betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold to these people, he's taken down to Egypt. Well, now you think, okay, now it's all going to be blessing from here on. And then he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He's in jail. It doesn't become easy, but ultimately becomes the second most powerful person in Egypt. Well, what are the chances of that happening? He is able to influence Pharaoh and bring all kinds of things to save the lives of the very brothers who betrayed him, who were going hungry, and Joseph said, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good, to save many lives." And if the adversity and some of the worst adversities people face are not their own physical illness and financial misfortune and even their losses of loved ones, sometimes the hardest things to deal with are people who have betrayed them, who speak evil of them, who say bad things about them, who accuse them falsely, and they have to live with this. And he says to his brothers, "You intended it for evil. God intended it for good." Not just, "Well, yeah, you brought the lemons and God somehow made lemonade out." No. God intended it for good. What? They had evil intentions, and God can intend good while people are intending evil? And the answer is absolutely yes. I mean, isn't the cross of Jesus Christ, isn't that the ultimate example of it? Right.